All right. Good morning. I call the House Labor and Commerce Committee. Is our audio on? All right. I call the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order at 9:05 a.m. on Friday, April 29th. Excuse me. Members present in the room are Representative Kaufman, McCarty, Snyder, Nelson, Co-Chair Fields, and myself, Chair Sponholz. Let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. Thanks so much to our Secretary Leo Fraser and our LAO moderator Lydia Klein. A reminder to members to announce yourself before speaking for those that are listening online. We've got more people doing that than ever before. And if you haven't already, it's a great time to silence your cell phones. We have five items on today's agenda, and we have a 10 a.m. floor, so just flagging that for everybody. We're going to manage time carefully today. First up, we're going to do a confirmation hearing for Commissioner Designee Sandy, who is with us in the room. We're going to take committee action on Senate Bill 186, extending the Board of Examiners and Optometry. We're going to take action on Senate Bill 193, extending the Board of Chiropractors, and then we are going to do an introduction on House Bill 402, Identification of Contractors in Ads, and brief itties. And I just want to let everybody know that consideration of an amendment and final action on Senate Bill 190, Regulatory Commission of Alaska and Refuse Utilities, has been moved to Monday's schedule. And I will repeat that again at the end so everybody's clear on that. But we're going to take up Senate Bill 190 on Monday. So first up, we're going to welcome Commissioner Designee Julie Sandy. Go ahead. Welcome to House Labor and Commerce. Introduce yourself for the record and tell us about your qualifications for and interest in serving the people of Alaska.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Julie Sandy. I'm Commissioner Designee for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. I appreciate being here this morning, Co-Chair Sponholz, and I think I've had an opportunity to meet most of you individually, and so I'll be very brief about my background in case I...
Okay. The audio's for our listening public and our recording secretaries that may need to go back and listen again.
My feet almost touched the ground in this chair, so I'm
excited. I can relate. I'm adjusting my chair as I speak as well. So, all right. And I want to just, while you're getting comfortable, Commissioner Sandy, recognize that Representative Shraggy joined us at 9:06 a.m. Thanks. All right. Go ahead.
Thank you. Since I have an opportunity to meet with most of you already, I'll be very brief just about my background, and that'll give you hopefully an opportunity to ask me any questions that you might have. But I was born and raised in Alaska, mostly primarily in logging camps in rural Alaska. So I'm a Southeast kiddo, very proud to be from Alaska. I went to high school in Ketchikan. I volunteered at the Ketchikan Pioneer Home. That's a standing joke in our house, as my mom worked at the Pioneer Home and required me to volunteer with the elders. It ends up being something that I am grateful for every day, as I feel like I was raised by two really wonderful parents in a great setting. Running around in logging camps was maybe the best way to grow up. But I also feel like I was raised by the elders and the pioneers of our state in many ways. They shaped me just as much or more than my parents did. I very much appreciated how much that they actually opened up to me and shared so much of their lives and their stories. We have such a history in the state of Alaska to be proud of, and so many of our pioneers and elders are the reason behind that. So being a visionary, working hard, learning how to work with your neighbors, being self-sufficient, those are all things that I think I can say about myself today because of them. But I also, I went on to grad school at USC and got my master's degree in order to be able to help at the Pioneer Home in a different way. I had been a volunteer for many years, and then I was the Adult Protective Services designee for our community. I worked in nonprofits for a bit. Then I went back to the Pioneer Home, and I was the social worker there, and I became the director of the Pioneer Home, and I did that until I retired a couple of years ago. And I was happily retired, and I learned to run a skiff on my own and use a chainsaw, though neither of those things are things I should probably do often. I can do them on my own now. And I also, while being in the public sector, I also had several small businesses that provide services throughout the state. And so I think that public-private experience has me pretty balanced in terms of the differences and the challenges between both of those things. And then I also served on the board with ADA and AEA. And I think that those things provided me with insight into like the large infrastructure projects that I would have never had before. And, you know, the department is, as all of you know, very wide-ranging in terms of the services that the Department of Commerce and Community and Economic Development provides across the state of Alaska. It's impressive. We have 6 divisions, 8 corporate agencies. I'm proud of myself now. I can name them all, and I get a gold star when I am able to do that, so I'm proud of that. I know we're in a hurry today, so I won't go into them, but I'm mostly very proud of the team that I get to represent. I can assure you that those folks, some of whom are behind me, but are working so hard on behalf of Alaskans, it makes me really proud. The mission at DCCED is both to protect the consumer and build healthy economy and strong communities. And I think that certainly across those 6 divisions, 8 corporate agencies, the boards that we represent, staff are helping to do that. Personally, I just think, and I should also say, I also serve on 12 additional boards, so Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, Alaska Commission on Aging. So those are like the range of services provided under DCC are pretty pretty big. And just in terms of my timing, I would just say lastly that when I think about all the things that led me to the seat that I'm in today and all the experiences that I've had, I think I can offer balance. And I also think one quality I have that maybe not others have is sort of the ability to multitask at a pretty high rate of speed. And I think that I have learned since I've been in this position now for 100 days that that is an ability I need to have. And my son, Sean Sandy, is in the room today. And one of the things that he taught me to do was to be able to like carry a bleeding child while in heels running into an ER. And during that time, I think you have to be calm and you have to be able to think on your feet. And I certainly can do that. So I'm looking forward to being able to work with each of you. And I can assure you that I just make every decision based on what I think is best for Alaska and best for Alaskans.
All right. Thank you very much for that introduction. Co-Chair Fields has a question.
Well, first of all, thanks for your long service, Commissioner Designee Sandy, to the Pioneer Homes. I think that we can kind of judge how well we're doing as a state by how well we treat our elders and our kids. So thank you, and I'm definitely looking forward to supporting you because of that long service. I had a couple questions about ADA and AEA, and I guess I was kind of surprised when I got elected, the number of emails that I regularly receive about from people who are skeptical or distrustful of ADA and AEA, and, you know, probably it will take time to fix that. But one opportunity I see is if the administration's Green Bank bill passes and ADA is able to take that on, it could maybe rebuild trust. So I guess I hope that bill passes. And do you see that maybe it's an opportunity to rebuild trust among a group of Alaskans who at this point are distrustful of the agency? And to be clear, like, their distrust of that agency has nothing to do with your merits as a commissioner.
Thank you, Co-Chair Fields, and through the chair. I was able to meet with the gentleman, though I can't remember his name, at the infrastructure symposium last week or a couple of weeks ago now in Anchorage. So I was able to really hear about the Green Bank bill. And I think that that provides great opportunity. And I also think that there's a whole conversation about policy regarding energy in Alaska that we don't have time for today. But I have so much respect for Curtis Thayer, the director of Alaska Energy Authority, and the staff there, the work that they're doing out in rural Alaska in particular, but also the mission for the Alaska Energy Authority in terms of, you know, trying to lower the cost of energy for Alaskans. that is something I knew nothing about before I started serving on the board. I really appreciate that. But I find it challenging as a board member. I often find that folks who are very vocal often represent it as though they're the majority when in fact they're just the most vocal. And so I don't always respond or make decisions based on the very vocal folks because I don't know that that's really what's best for Alaska. So I try really hard to take a look at all of the information and that's how I make my decision.
Thanks. If I could ask one more question. Thanks. And I think that's a great point. Totally agree. We see that on a lot of issues. Just one more question on ADA and AEA. The administration is advancing an RPS bill. Some of us on this committee voted to pass out of the Energy Committee, and one of the questions that came up is, and it'll come to this committee, one of the questions that came up is maybe are there opportunities to bring in federal resources, other resources to help pay for transmission to reduce consumers' overall cost and help deploy some of the generation that's envisioned in that bill? And maybe this is more of a takeaway, but I was hoping that in your role you could consider how we look for those resources to help build out the transmission that will enable deployment of renewable generation consistent with the RPS bill. Because I think whether we pass it this year or next year, we are going to pass an RPS bill like the one envisioned by the administration. And I think it'll be a good thing for the state when we do.
Thank you.
Do you have any comments?
I don't have any comments, just other than my mind immediately starts swimming to much larger conversations related to infrastructure and O&M, and you know, so I don't have any comments related to that today, but I appreciate that. Thank you.
And infrastructure relating to transmission and so that we can have sustainability, something the legislature's been working on for a very long time. The RCA is working on that, and our electric utilities across the state have been working on this for a very long time as well, but we lack some of the basic infrastructure to ensure that Alaskans can have sustainable and predictable access to energy in most parts of the state. But that is also true on the rail belt, even where transmission lines are not, there's no redundancy in the system that we see in other states. Because of the largeness of our state and the high cost of build out of that infrastructure. It's a very challenging problem. It takes a long time to resolve.
Chair Sponholz, if I might, the challenges with the rail belt, especially lines, were not something I was familiar with before. The fire last summer or two summers ago certainly brought to light many things. I was able to take a tour of the Bradley Creek Dam and was certainly in support of the expansion of that. I'm well aware of the needs for the transmission lines and the upgrades that may need to occur. And, you know, again, Curtis there at AEA does a really great job of advocating for that. But the costs of some of those projects are really worrisome while needed. And so I think that certainly balance has to occur as we decide where we're going to invest in these large infrastructure projects. But I can also say, you know, the very last thing I did last night when the lights turned off in the state building at 9 p.m. was a letter related to this to one of the representatives, you know, in representing his constituents. So I think more conversations later. I understand that there's other questions for me today. But thank you.
Yeah. All right. Representative Snyder has a question.
Thank you, Chair Sponholz. Good morning, Commissioner Designee Sandy. I'd love it if you could speak a little bit to the issue, and granted, we're not experiencing it just in your department, but issues around recruitment and retention and the impact on the services that we expect the department to provide. And I know folks have been doing the very best they can, particularly as we're coming out of a pandemic. But I'm curious what insights you might have, particularly based on your experience in both the public and the private sector, what we can do to ensure that we maintain a healthy, productive workforce under persistent challenges so that we can ensure we're meeting the expectations and the duties that the department is expected to provide.
Thank you, Representative Snyder, through the chair. I appreciate being asked that question because it's something, you know, when I first took the position, folks were asking me, you know, what my plans were for the department. And as I got more acquainted with the challenges facing, especially some of the divisions, it really comes down to workforce. And, you know, in, able to do the job and do the job well, we need folks in the seats to help us do that. What I always say about retention and recruitment, a physician that when I was on the governing board at the hospital for many years, one of the physicians there always, whenever I would discuss it, would flip it and very quietly, just instead of saying recruitment and retention, say retention and recruitment. And he did that very purposely because he felt like the emphasis should always be on retaining your good employees first instead of recruiting more. And I, for some reason, that always just sticks in my brain. And I think that that is such an important thing to pause and talk about. Wait a minute, we've got great folks on our team. What are we doing to help retain those folks? What do they need so they can do their job better? Often, I think when we're making decisions, if you bring the decisions closest to the folks that are doing the job, you'll find that you already have the solutions, especially in state government. Sometimes that those talented group of folks, while they might be, you know, a housekeeper or a CNA, they often have solutions that we are banging our heads trying to find answers to in a conference room. So if we get out of our office and just go down and ask them, well, they have the answer, and it's just a matter of giving them the tools that they need. So first of all, I would just say we need to take a moment and just pause and ask the folks around us, you know, what do you need to stay? I think that that's really important because as the private sector workforce is shrinking, and we've certainly seen that occur, they will become more compelled to, I mean, I already think that state of Alaska employees are often, post probably isn't the right word, but we put a lot of attention and time into training folks at a state level, and then oftentimes many of the talented folks are then lured away for larger salaries in the private sector. And so that, I think, was always a challenge. It's more of a challenge now. I think that across the administration, certainly my counterparts in the cabinet room, other commissioners, are already doing really great things on a recruitment level. But I think we also realize, as we talk about the large infrastructure projects that are coming, as a state, the question before us is, how are we going to properly staff these projects, and can we, right? So that, I know that's a much larger discussion, but I just want to assure you that I think on the level of the administration, this is retention and recruitment is certainly, if not probably the number one priority, at least, or resounding theme as we're sitting in meetings discussing it. And but the other thing is just the emphasis on retaining the staff that we do have.
Do you have a thought? No? Representative McCarty?
Thank you. Through the chair, thanks for being here. I know we talked about different things, and big piece is commerce, and that's what the commission is about. And I actually had a conversation with someone that was walking into labor and commerce meeting about the systems, it appears, to just fill out forms to get things done, and this seems to be a theme of what are some ideas you have into expediting the process for business and industry in the state to report to the state for licensing corporations, whatever protocols that's needed, that it can be done in an expeditious manner, helps business, but also helps the state in its processing of things so we're not overwhelmed.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I heard pretty consistently from each of you as I had an opportunity to meet with you individually, you know, are the concerns related to licensing, both business licensing in Alaska and also professional licensing, for a whole bunch of reasons, one of which is, you know, post-pandemic or during the pandemic, what we saw was, you know, an increase in the need for licenses, especially in the healthcare field, as we were trying to get more workers into the system. Unfortunately, at the same time, we had less folks to do the work, right? So that's never a good model when you have an increase in workload and less bodies to do the work, right? So you already know what's going to happen there, which is, I think, part of where some of the frustration is coming from. We have some really great ideas. One of the first things we did was take a look at, break it apart. And, you know, Director Chambers was really great at being, you know, I have a tendency at times to be a little too defensive when I'm protective of something. I have so much respect for the way that we could take a look at this at a conference room table and say, okay, what's each step? How do we do this? How many steps are involved? What can we eliminate? So one of the first things we did is say, at least for right now, why are we doing it? If we're not mandated to do it, stop doing it, because we need to figure out how to get the backlog out. So that's one of many things that I think we are trying to do so we can very quickly try to alleviate the pressure. Of course, you know, I thought we were under pressure in January. Now we're ramping up to a tour season and finding that that wasn't pressure, right? So now we're like under real pressure. But I can say and I also really appreciate that the governor's administration has been so supportive of us trying to figure out wherever the solutions are and whatever they are, we need to be considering them. So whether or not that is a large scale change of our systems in terms of our software system or making changes to our My Alaska portal, which already I think that the division should be commended for the ways in which basically I think that all the ways in which they could make changes with the tools that they had in front of them, they did. So now we're looking at what other things, and which may require a large ask next year as we look at other software systems. So I don't have an answer yet on what that might be, but I know almost everything's on the table at this point.
All right, and this committee certainly appreciates the focus on removing barriers to unnecessary barriers to licensing. It's been something that we've been very interested in for a very long time, and I've had several hearings. Director Chambers has been in front of us several times to talk about this. Yeah, Co-Chair Field.
Thanks to the Chair. I just wanted to say how much I appreciate your earlier comment to Representative Snyder about recognizing and listening to the expertise of rank-and-file employees. I think we don't do that enough, and it's true in every department, and thanks for honing in on it. I think you're absolutely right.
Thank you.
All right. Are there any additional questions? All right. Thank you very much for joining us today and for your commitment to serving the people of Alaska. We really appreciate it.
Thank you all.
All right. Okay. So next up, we're going to go to SB 186, extending the Board of Examiners and Optometry. We received no amendments to this bill. Are there any questions from members on this bill? All right, I'm going to go ahead and open up public testimony. Is there anybody available for public testimony in the room? Seeing none. Anybody online for public testimony? All right, nobody online for public testimony. We do have Elizabeth Stevens, who's the executive director of the Alaska Optometric Association. And we also have in the room Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens, the bill sponsor, in the event anybody has any questions. Any questions? All right, seeing none, is there a motion, Co-Chair Field?
Yes. I move SB 186 version 32-LS1476/A from committee with attached fiscal notes.
Is there any objection? All right, seeing none, Senate Bill 186 moves from committee without objection. We'll sign the paperwork as we always do while we're going with the flow so we can make sure we get through our agenda day. Next up, we're going to go to Senate Bill 193, the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. We received no amendments on this bill. We have in the room Madison Govin, a staff to Senator Machicki, and we have Chris Curtis, the auditor, director of the Division of Legislative Audit. Are there any questions from any members of the committee? All right, seeing no questions, is there a motion, Co-Chair Fields?
I move Senate Bill 193, version 32-LS1486/G from committee with attached fiscal notes.
All right, is there any objection? Seeing no objection, Senate Bill 193 moves from committee without objection. All right, next up, we're going to go to House Bill 404. Identification of contractor in ads. It's a bill sponsored by Representative Schrage. We have in the room as well Ryan Johnston. We're going to take just a very quick brief of these. All right, we're back on the record, and we're going to hear from Representative Schrage on House Bill 402, Identification of Contractor and Ads. Representative Schrage.
Thank you, co-chairs Fonholz and Fields. Really appreciate the opportunity to be before the committee and getting on the schedule for this week. It's, like I said, greatly appreciated. I'm actually just going to turn things over to my chief of staff, Ryan Johnson. He's been working very hard on moving this bill forward, and I think he's best able to speak to it at this point. Thank you.
All right. Go ahead.
Thank you, co-chairs. And I'm just going to jump right in on a sectional analysis. It'll be fairly quick. There's three sections for the bill. Section 1 amends AS0818051 regarding the identification requirements for contractors and advertisements. The new language specifies that a contractor's internet website or landing page satisfies the contractor's identification requirements and advertisements so long as it contains the already existing requirements for noticing an advertisement. So there's no change there except that it would now allow for the use of a website or landing page. Section 2 amends AS0818051 regarding the identification requirements for registered home inspectors for advertisements in the same fashion as it was for contractors. So now, again, allowing for a landing page or website to contain all of the licensing information. And then Section 3 adds a definition for landing page, which means a single web page that appears in response to clicking on a search engine optimized search results, marketing promotion, marketing email, or online advertisement. And at the root of this bill, co-chairs, is allowing for another option. This does not require contractors or home inspectors to do this. It just simply gives the option. We've talked about how this is modernizing the efforts for advertising of licenses for contractors and home inspectors. So currently, for a contractor to take out a print ad, they would have to list out every license they have. So many small contractors have multiple licenses. So it's not really cost effective for them to do that. Now allowing this singular website would essentially make that a moot point, where at the bottom of a print ad, they could simply just put, you can go to this website and see all of my licenses. So with that, co-chairs,
Are there any questions for Representative Schrage or his staff right now?
And Co-Chair Sponholz, may I maybe just make a couple of additional comments?
Go ahead.
Thank you. So, and I just wanted to quickly note that no changes from the original version of the bill passing out of Community and Regional Affairs. I'd also like to point out the letter of support from Associated General Contractors of Alaska, so that's on the radar of members. And, ultimately, I think the way to best encapsulate what this bill does is, I think we've all heard the jumbled list of disclaimers and licenses and addresses at the end of a radio advertisement. That's the kind of thing that I think is a little bit unnecessary, and this would be a modernization that allows us to make sure that all that information is still provided, but maybe done so in a more efficient way. So thank you.
All right. Representative McCarty.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Schrage, thank you very much for bringing this, especially the fact that, and you just confirmed this, that it's not imposing upon contractors to develop a website, not imposing that they become IT people. They still be their contract scope of practice, what they do. It's just stating if they do have a website that they need to announce that in there. And in some ways, maybe more than some ways, I hope that maybe we do this for open meeting information and put the demand on government that they have to do the same thing if they're having an open meeting, all mechanisms. So thank you.
All right. Representative Coppin.
Thank you. Through the chair to the bill sponsor. This, in terms of contractors, I see where it's associated here with home inspectors. Is the scope of this for any contractor that may be considered someone who does work under contract?
Turn that to my chief of staff, Ryan Johnston.
For the record, Ryan Johnson, staff representative Friday. So, through the chair, Representative Kaufman, it would only be the contractors covered under 0818051. I can get you a breakdown. I apologize that I don't have it now, but I can get you a breakdown of the explicit contractors under there. That's why there's the two sections for home inspectors. So, I'll get you that information.
Thank you.
All right. Are there any additional questions for Representative Schrage or staff Ryan Johnson? Mm-hmm. All right, seeing none, Thank you very much for your time and introducing this bill today. We're going to go ahead and set this bill aside today. Our next meeting is scheduled for Monday, May 2nd at 3:15 p.m. Oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you for the reminder, Representative Fields.
Just want to mention, we do have amendments in drafting on 405 and 406, and some are done, but they are not all done, so hope to bring them back when they're done.
All right, and we'll make sure that those get distributed to the committee in time for consideration. I know that Kuchar Fields has been working with industry on identifying amendments. Representative Kaufman.
Through the chair, a question on that. Considering the testimony that we heard in the amount of changes, is the intent to revise or to amend the existing bill, not go to a CS?
Representative Fields?
I think the changes on 406 in particular are very extensive, and whether we amended or did a CS, it would probably be the same in effect. There's also an amendment we do have ready in terms of existing INCSA trusts, which are a unique type of trust. So that's, I think, a pretty straightforward amendment.
And I think that it was my interest in making sure that we were being very transparent with the public about all of the changes that were being made, and rather than adopting a CS, that we consider each one of the amendments kind of on the merits. And then, you know, when we get to final consideration on the bill, everybody can make their own individual decisions at the time. So for me, it was really about transparency. This is a very complicated and big bill, or bills. Two bills, and one of the things that's really important for me is making sure that we really understand the way that those that are regulated by us are impacted by something, and sometimes we only know when they see that, when they see the actual language, and until we have the amendments drafted, they can't respond to them. So we're just trying to be really transparent with the public about this and the stakeholders so we can make sure that we can get to consensus on something, or whether or not we can get to consensus at all.
A follow-up on that.
A follow-up?
To the chair. Thank you.
All right. Super. And so the bills scheduled for Monday right now are House Bill 301, House Bill 382, Senate Bill 190, and then, of course, we have noticed bills previously heard and scheduled, so we will let you know if the schedule changes. We are now at the time of session. We're at the end of the two-year legislative session where things start to move very quickly, and so we will do our absolute best to make sure that we're transparent with everybody about what is coming up, so there's no surprises, but things do start to move quickly. So I encourage you to make sure that you're checking your email on Sundays for Monday's schedule. And with that, thanks so much to our secretary today, Leah Fraser, and our LA moderator, Lydia Klein. In this meeting, the House Labor and Commerce Committee is adjourned at 9:38 a.m.